Time Football is the number one football call on radio. Footy's on the radio. And your front row.
For the Fiat Ducato, the most powerful front-wheel drive van in its class.
Welcome to the Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's fan feed boxes.
Triple M rocks football.
Saturday Rub, just how we like it too. Richard Marsland Studios here in South Melbourne. The beautiful Hose Mary's got this place set up magnificently for an hour and a half of the best entertainment you'll cop on a Saturday afternoon. Spud, been preparing ferociously. He's ready to go.
Nice to see you, Spud.
Yeah. Hey. Thanks for coming, Spud.
No, great to be here, but I'm nervous.
Oh, you are, Spud. I can tell you're a bit nervous.
My daughter is in... Now, the Victorian under-18 team, basketball, are playing... Queensland today in Adelaide.
Come on, Spud, we're not giving out junior scores on this radio.
Under 18 national competition, Brian. Some basketball.
Minor competition.
Minor. This is the best girls in Australia, Brian. And Daryl White's daughter is
Oh, yeah. Football. How are they going?
No, it's basketball.
Oh, it's basketball.
And Daryl White's daughter is an absolute superstar. Will be the best player in the world within 3 years.
Spud, does that explain you arriving a minute before we're going to air?
Does it, Spud?
So that all happened in the last week and has nothing to do with today?
I've been over in Adelaide, working feverishly and keeping my nose to the...
What?
Watch Port Adelaide train yesterday morning. I basically have been in Adelaide for 3 days.
Yes.
And drink responsibly, of course. It's fair to say I'm a bit dusty. And I've been dusty for 3 or 4 days and I'm in a bit of a stupor, to be brutally honest.
You walked into the studio 33 seconds before we're on air.
It's really... I brought in the Penske file, basically. Absolute. I've got nothing, but I'm going to hang it on as many people as I possibly can because I'm angry.
I saw you walk in the door and you've got to the door and you've gone, I'm a bit light-handed here. And you went back out and you grabbed the newspaper and you tore the newspaper to bits like you had a lot more than you actually had.
No, I did. And then
you just had the 52 pages of the newspaper.
Then I get grilled from some skinny little producer in there asking me, like, seriously, I can't do everything. I can't produce the show. Add a bit of humour to the show and actually a few insights into footy and the whole lot.
And Hawthorne beat Adelaide last night too.
Mate,
just to keep you up to speed with what's going on.
Spud just going with a whole lot there. I'll add a bit of humour and I'll add some insight to the whole thing as well. So just it's got the lot, the Spud. He's going
Well, mate, welcome back to Triple M2. By the way,
Is that all you've got?
Our ratings went from bloody 11 to 15 when you wrapped off. And then 3AW went... Tell you what, sort of Brian.
VAW is Brian Taylor.
Spud, don't go too hard because I believe an address by yourself to an audience of 60 pluses during the week was glass eye stuff. In amongst all that was glass eye stuff. Not good, Spud.
I tell you what are we dealing with here? Now, Brian, that was a great speech, and we talked about it last Saturday at the MCG about going out to the harness racing as on behalf of the board. The speech, I nailed it, mate. It was, and look, no one needs to know any further other than that, Brian. As simple as that.
We'll take a close look at it a little bit later on.
We might.
We've got a man that's actually sent us some audio, so Dame.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, we might.
But
have
let's get on the game. That. Let's get on to the game today.
What I liked, Bristle, is Spud just giving it the, along with a whole lot of resumes, then finished with the sentence, I can't do everything, which is true, Spud, but you also can't do nothing.
That's a fair call.
That's probably a bit of halfway that we want from
it. I come in prepared. Yes. It's fair to say I'm dishevelled. Yeah. And my daughters and my wife, they're all been at me.
But I've got mail. That's all I need to say.
What of?
I've got something that I'll be bringing up later on.
And I do too,
Spud. It's come to me.
And I do too,
so,
Spud.
So you're getting a three-pronger today.
I must admit, I sent a few texts to you guys yesterday morning when I was preparing for this show in Adelaide, and I didn't get any back, which normally senses that
trouble
is going on, Rosie. Because normally you get one back. Yeah, has anyone been doing anything untoward? I've been clean, so I'm fine.
I'm pretty sure you have.
JB, I could actually get physical with you today.
I'm telling you now, what I've got's good. but it's not a patch on what Bristol and Baymo have got, so right. I think you're in a bit of strife.
Now, I know we'll talk about last night's game, but I did drive home from the airport and her Ash Chewers interview with Don
Well, Pike. That's what the hell's coming up later. Ben Stratton also coming up, and I tell you, we've got lots to discuss in a very, very big show. John Longmire's going to be with us, so we've got lots to get
on. I look forward to that interview.
Yeah, don't worry. Now, last night, the Hawks, Bristol, have again found a way to squeak by. They are a freak club. They were in all sorts last night.
First time in the history, I believe, that they've won three under 3 points or at 3 points. So incredible stuff. What a great quality game of football it was. Yes. Attacking, defensive, brilliant, electric. It just kept going. I thought, the first half, they won't be able to go at that pace in the second half. Well, I'll tell you what they did. They went right to the end. It was unreal seeing Rioli and what he was capable of in a big game like that. First time I've seen Adelaide live.
Eddie Betts early.
He was just unbelievable out the back door. Just got out the back door time and time again. It was incredible to watch.
No, it was. And last week was the game of the round, but this is the game of the year so far. I'm wrong with you, BT. It had everything. You know, Paul Puopolo, obviously, you know, the tackling machine, kick five and rightly so. And then look, and I don't want to detract from Hawthorn's win, but a couple of weeks in a row, there's been a couple of dubious decisions from umpires.
No, but I was going to raise that. There has been umpire intervention in the past two Hawks. No,
so you're talking about the Puopolo pushing the back? You didn't think it was there?
No, the last one.
There was that one. There was also the Isaac Smith non-free kick, which I think would have been paid in any other quarter, maybe not the last quarter, but any other quarter.
You mean the very last
play? The very last play.
It was a great
I think there was also another issue. Was it against Jenkins or Walker, where Hawthorn got a free kick in the back line, which is against Walker, wasn't it? Which to me just was not there. And then that happened last week too, JB, with the umpires determining that 15-metre kicks that had not been
Isaac Smith holding the ball?
JB, what he did...
He fake pumped the handball.
Yeah, as soon as he grabbed the ball, he's pumped the handball with no one tackling. So
but before that...
He's had prior, Brian.
They got told 10 seconds, right? Yeah. They knew the clock.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
Knew exactly where the clock was. So Isaac Smith knew by the time he got it, there were probably 2 or 3 seconds left in the game. And I just reckon he said, I'm just going to soak this up any way I can. And he had no intention of getting rid of the footy. And I'm with you, Damo. That at any other stage of the game, except in the last minute of the game, that's a free kick.
It's a free kick because he's had prior. The facts are, his mind said, I'm going to make out, I'm hitting the ball, and someone's got hold of me. No one had hold of Isaac Smith. Then they grabbed him after trying to fist punt the ball 3 times, and then someone grabbed him, the ball spills. That is holding the ball.
We're not going down the conspiracy path here like some people tried to last week with what happened in Launceston against St Kilda, but it is a fact that for 2 weeks in a row, decisions made by umpires
or
in a game, or non-decisions made by an umpire in a game involving Hawthorn has contributed to Hawthorn winning the game of football by 3 points.
Well, as you know, with Don Pike and the Crows, they're a class organisation, so they certainly won't lean on that. I don't think there was anything structurally wrong at the end of the game, Bristol, not from what I saw, but twice, and I'm trying to, I don't want to hang anyone, but it might have been Lions running down the members' wing. Twice they missed Tex, and twice they had to hit him. And then late in the game, they just had to hit him on the 45 because he then would have gone back as the captain of the club and settled the whole thing down and just gone, right, I'm going to soak it all up. I'm going to choose a good option. He couldn't have scored from there, but he would have controlled the game from there. It was about 2 minutes 20 left, I reckon.
Yep.
Missed the kick, turnover, goal, and there's the game. So
that was the game.
You know, I just think, and Don Pike will be sitting there going, as stupid as it sounds because it's a two-hour-long game, twice I reckon they just had to get it to the skipper who was open and just let him do what he does, which is completely control that situation from there. They're 15 points up at that stage.
Oh, and what about their no-name defence? Like, seriously, we know Talia's All-Australian. Brody Smith's gone up the ground. You've got Laird, you've got Lever, you've got Brown. Those guys are terrific, BT.
Well, Jakey Lever and Daniel Talia, the two sort of taller ones that take the bigger beast down there, they have Talia for a long time now has been absolutely fantastic. But I tell you what, Jake Lever is going to be better than Daniel Talia.
He is.
This is a young kid from out Romsey. I know his family really well. He and Cicely were best of mates, actually, growing
from
up.
Greendale out the same way.
Yes, he is. All through the cannon. So those two players, but particularly Jake Lever, his kicking is just a little iffy at the moment, and he just needs to tidy that up. And so has Daniel Talia's kicking, still just a little iffy. Yep. But I think Lever at when he's played 100 games, he'll be better than Daniel Taulia.
And Mitch McGovern up the other end. Jerry McGovern, and I know you might have played foot with his old man.
Old man, Andrew, pudding guts.
Pudding guts. This kid's vertical leap.
Well, why is, I love it. His kids, both his kids are a bit sort of, they're not chubby, but their body shape is weird,
but they're much taller. Their dad was a midfielder, and they've got beautiful hands.
And Pike, is he a relation to the famous sports science guy?
Frank Pike, that's his dad.
It's his dad.
Jamie Pike, his brother, played cricket for South Australia. Seedsman and Smith, it might have been, who kicked the balls in late and missed their targets.
JB, just on Seedsman, it was quite interesting. I'm not sure what Adelaide had to give away to get him, but gee, he'd be handy in the Collingwood team at the moment.
They lack users out of defence.
Run and ball use from Seedsman last night. I'm thinking, what happened there? We'll have a look at that and see what the give was, but. Gee, he'd be in their best 10 at the moment, Seedsman.
What about McAvoy last night? Thought he was excellent as well. Did some great stuff, knocking the ball down the throat of his midfielders, around the ground as well. Just that the deft little touches that he had. You know, he was just absolutely extraordinary last night.
I'll tell you the thing I reckon about Hawthorn Bristol is they make use of their momentum in a game better than any club in the comp. So when they've got control, they didn't have control for long last night. I reckon they had 2 or 3 10-minute patches. But when they do, they just smash the scoreboard.
So efficient.
Whereas other clubs, when they've got control, don't convert it into scores on the board and put pressure back on the opposition. But Hawthorn, doesn't matter who they're playing or where, if they get a little 10-minute patch of dominance, they rattle on 5 goals in that time.
Yeah, they are very efficient right across the ground, right through to the goal. Just one thing, with all of the talk about Sam Mitchell during the week and over the last couple of weeks, should you tag him, should you follow him, you know, does he hurt you on the scoreboard, all this thing. I watched him really closely last night. I particularly watched his kicking. His handball is dynamite, hits the target every time. His kicking last night, I thought, I'm going to just watch and see what other clubs are looking for in his kicking and why aren't they manning up. And I'm telling you now, a lot of the kicks that he had last night, at least 50% of them didn't go where they should have.
So you're saying that's why they may not be doing the hard tag?
I'm thinking that he does not hurt you on the scoreboard. That is probably why they're going head to head with him rather than trying to put a defensive tag on him. I reckon he doesn't hurt you enough on the scoreboard. They can cop the 30 possessions in the midfield as long as they've got a good enough defence to bottle it up.
JB, you mentioned that periods of dominance where the Hawks do cash in.
Yep.
Alistair Clarkson spoke post-match like a man who knew that they basically had stolen a game of footy in that sporting context. He knows it's not going to be able to be sustained winning the close games the way they have been doing, and also said that when they concede 17 goals as they did last night, it's not often going to fall their way.
Yeah, we know where we're thereabouts as well, but we need to improve on some things in our game to because we're not going to continue to win close games like that. You know, at some point in time, we're going to lose a game, a close game like that. We're not going to win finals if we're conceding 17 goals, so we need to find a way to try and restrict sides like Adelaide from kicking that many.
And also confirmed officially last night, guys, for those who haven't caught up with it, 3-year contract extension for Alistair Clarkson beyond this year. So it takes in seasons 17, 18 and 19. It's a very good deal.
He was never going anywhere.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't.
So what was all the kerfuffle on Monday night?
Well, you'd have to ask Caroline Wilson about that, I think. But
give us a spell.
So he said that they can't continue to concede 17 goals. Do you believe that, Spud? And I don't cop the form's not that good at the moment. I say Hawthorn are right where they need to be.
Yeah.
That is, they're running at about 70% rat power, and they've got 30% improvement between now and the end of the year.
Oh, no doubt, BT. No, I think that he needs to give the players a needle, but deep down he'd be chuffed. They've won those 3 games against Adelaide.
Mm.
St Kilda very lucky, and St Kilda's form held up okay.
Spud, is 17 goals.
Yes.
Are we going to be seeing 17 goals in round 17 this year win games?
Yeah, we will. Yep. Yeah, I like it, Brian. I think Clarko will be disappointed at that, but he'll also be disappointed 20 less contested ball and 40 less uncontested possessions. Yeah. I think the way Adelaide were able to get through, and you've got to understand that Adelaide kicked 17 goals 7. At one stage, it was 9 goals 1. So they were really accurate. And that's a big thing I've found too, BT, the accuracy for goal at the moment. Sides are actually going through the corridor more, which means the shots are actually in the corridor. And the football is A+.
Yep.
Big round of applause for all the coaches, the AFL, for the way the game's marketed now. We're talking more football than we ever have been for the last 5 years about how great our game is, which is fantastic.
And the players have mastered the boundary line shot, JB. Yep. Rarely are we seeing a drop punt kick now. We're seeing them face the middle of the ground, kick it around the corner.
Yes, Sicily.
Which, as you know, Spud, it's one of the things, unfortunate for JB and Damo, but when you haven't played, you know, to know that feel. Mm. I mean, I know you both played at varying levels. But
against West Perth.
You feel the ball better on your boot, don't you, when you kick it around the corner? That's how you learn to kick left foot.
No doubting
that. Kick around the corner first before you kick straight.
No doubting that whatsoever. And look, Paul Puopolo, you think of any young player out there listening or watching that game last night, that's what makes our game so great, BT. You talk about McAvoy.
Yeah.
Then you've got this little bull, like a little bull terrier, who's a tackling machine, kicks five. What about his hands from ground level, under pressure, when he had, I'm not sure who the player was on him, I think it was Smith, and he got the handball out for a goal. I thought, that is an outstanding bit of play from Paul Puopolo.
We've got to get to a break, but Brendan Goddard last night, amazingly insightful special comments with Jason Dunstall, and he was talking a lot about the intercept marks being taken by the Adelaide defence and how filthy Clarko would be with the amount of them that were taken during the night. And then Clarko talks about the absence of Big Ruff, because too often it was going in there and it was being marked and bounding straight back out. He's a massive out. Jared Ruffy.
And just on Big Ruff, a PCL is a rare operation in footballers these days.
Yep.
You know, there's no guarantee that Ruff's going to be back when he says, there's no guarantee that this is going to go smoothly because it's basically untried.
Medical PCL bristle. Ops.
Yeah, and just on Ruff, there's one guy that needs him back, and that's Jack Gunston. He is not the same player without Ruffhead in the forward line.
Fiat Ducato, the most powerful front-wheel drive van in its class. The Hawks, three times in a row, they've won games by 3 points. And a big part of that team is Ben Stratton, who does a very nice job in the back half. He had Eddie Betts for company, and he would have had the old Frank Thring twitching early on. But then he got the game back on his terms, and he joins us now, Ben Stratton. Nice to have you, mate.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tell us what was going through your mind at about the 11-minute mark last night of the first quarter.
Yeah, obviously when you got a bit of a job, you're a bit twitchy when they kick the first goal and then another two in the first quarter. I was thinking, well, that's 3 a quarter, he could kick 12. So, yeah, I was a bit twitchy, but yeah, look, you can have bad quarters, but you just got to reset and sort of wipe that clean. And yeah, with a player like Eddie, you got to sort of be on your guard the whole night for sure.
So, Ben, on reflection, what should you have been doing in that first 15 minutes, do you think?
Oh, he got a few out the back goals, so yeah, probably just gave him too much space out the back. And, yeah, so sort of probably lost concentration a few times. And as I said, if you do that on players like Eddie, you know, right, 1 minute is next year, the next minute is 30 metres out the back. So, yeah, a bit to work on there, but glad I could sort of play a bit better in the next couple of quarters.
Yeah, no, well done, Strats. Can you just enlighten us a little bit more on that? So do you reference off Eddie Betts? Because, you know, the team ethos is to come up and press up and make sure the ball doesn't get out the back. And then you think, gee, do I go back on Betts or do I open up a hole for an Adelaide midfielder to run in? So it's a bit of a balancing act, especially now for the last line of defence, which are normally up around the wing half-back region. And you see Eddie Betts just sort of, he's got the reverse gears going. So it must be a bit of a timing thing for a player of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose when you've got a role like that, you've really got to put some time into the oppo, but then as well as still helping your teammates. So you've got to probably play a bit of both. And sometimes it's hard because you get fixated so much on the player that you sort of stuff the rest of the team around. So it's probably about getting that balance of concentrating on your oppo, but as well as helping out your other teammates. And the balance is probably a bit off in the first quarter.
We heard Clarko's press conference last night, and just about 5 minutes ago, he alluded to the fact that 17 goals, he wasn't really happy with that. You're obviously a great avid of the game, and I know as a defender you don't want to leak that many goals through, but is that what Clarko said after the game?
Yeah, historically we've been able to keep teams to fairly low scores, and that's been, you know, we've kicked high scores, and sometimes we kick sort of a bit lower scores, but we've able to keep the oppo sort of 8 to 10 goals. So, yeah, that defensive work, definitely. We don't like getting high scores kicked against us, and Clarko puts a lot of work into the defensive side of the game, so things to work on there and build on definitely going forward.
Ben, the footy gods can work in strange ways. I know at Hawthorn, while you've had a lot of success, you've also missed some big games through small margins. The last couple of weeks, though, the gods seem to have gone your way. You were close to Isaac Smith last night when he took possession with a matter of seconds remaining. Do you feel he was fortunate to not have been called for holding the ball?
Yeah, well, as I said, I was right there. But, yeah, I haven't seen a replay. They say it looks worse on the replay, which things always do. But, I don't know. Yeah, I suppose if you call it luck or not, or, you know, I think the umpires did a good job. They were letting the game go the whole night. So whether or not they were just following that pattern and heat at the moment, yeah, I suppose you could say the gods are with us. But on the other hand, there was probably a lot of other decisions during the game that could have gone either way and didn't. So, yeah, you know, we'll take that.
3-point margins your way the past 3 weeks. What is it about your club and its resolve to get these games decided your way? Are you able to pinpoint it when you reflect upon the extraordinary nature, particularly of what happened last night?
Yeah, I think in close games, it's probably the composure and not getting too jittery when you do have the ball. And often than not, you know, you feel like there's probably a couple of seconds left, but often than not, there's 2 or 3 minutes and you don't have to go sort of bullet a gate. You've got enough time to score, you've got enough time to stay composed instead of sort of just bombing it and rushing it and thinking you've got to get forward. So I think the composure and experience of the group played a lot of footy together and played a lot of finals as well, and a lot of finals have panned out that way, especially our prelims. So yeah, it's probably that composure that it's helped us over the last couple of years.
Strats, most defenders just blue-collar workers, get the job done, no fuss, no frills. I've just noticed the Moustaka, mate. A bit of D'Artagnan in it. What's going on there, champ?
Yeah, I don't know. I had it last year and at the start of the year, and it sort of worked for me. And I saw Dipper a couple of weeks back, and he gave me a bit of a compliment. So I'll take that and run with it, and keep it going. And I don't know. Maybe there's something in it. And with these close games, it's a bit of good luck. But no, I don't know. It's the only part I can grow.
Don't reckon it's got anything.
Is a mousse. The beard's struggling a bit.
Don't reckon it's got anything to do with that, Ben. I think you're a bit of a Brunswick Street operator. In fact, you're known as the house party specialist. Now, I know you've bought the new humble sort of warehouse down there in the sort of Brunswick Fitzroy area. What's been going on in the abode there, Ben? Oh.
Very low key in the warehouse at the moment.
Oh, I know it has it's a theatre style almost setup where you've got upstairs and you can look and view down into the main
the mezzanine level entertainment.
You know this because you were the underbidder on the property. Is that right or not?
Oh, I did look at it. but Benny, the house party specialist, what's going on, mate?
I just like to have the boys around, have a good time, and especially come the end of the year when everyone can let their hair down. I don't mind opening up the house, and it's not a bad place to have a few drinks and have some music going because it's a sort of that warehouse set up. So, yeah, I don't know.
And just Brunswick Street where the Black Cat is, I think you're there having a coffee at the moment down at the Black Cat or whatever it is. But I just want to say, one of your best mates who you've lived with for the last couple of years has finally got a game for Essendon in the big Anzac Day. His first game of the Bombers, Sam Grimley.
Oh, yeah,
goodness. You're going to have a look?
Yeah, well, I'm having lunch with him now, so I'm getting him pumped up, ready to go. And, yeah, couldn't have been happier when he texted me and said he was playing. So we're at the club Monday for recovery and stuff. But, yeah, I'll catch most of the game. So I'm pretty pumped for the big fella.
Strats, Chip did a pretty good job last night, but what does he add in the team meetings, Chip? How does he...
He's just bringing it back.
No. How does he go? How does he go with enlightening the group with some of his pearls of wisdom?
He's pretty good, Chip. If he gets asked a question, he'll mumble something. You can't really understand it, and then everyone will laugh.
That's what we do on the rub.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, Strats, thanks, mate. We'll let you get back to your brunch, but good work. Last 3 weeks have been extraordinary to watch Hawks 4-1, which I imagine is exactly where you'd want to be.
No dramas. Thanks, boys.
Ben Stratton, just in Brunswick as we speak, Bristol. It's a different part of the world.
I just wonder what's happening in that party house.
More, Brian.
I think he's a bit of an entertainer, young guy.
Yeah, it's good.
What interests me is what you were thinking about drifting in there, Bristol.
What are you doing down there, Brian?
I wouldn't have you as a Brunswick operator.
It is a ripper shack that he's bought. Warehouse, you know, as I said, mezzanine style. And it was previously owned by an artist. And it was very, very unusual. And it's a bit of a weirdo sort of operation when you walk in there.
I can't hold Bristol back
now,
any further.
JB, now, we all remember last week when it was revealed that Spud was a newly elected board member of Harness Racing Victoria, and he was going to spend most of his Saturday nights at Melton Tots.
Yes. Some Saturday nights.
Which staggered us, of course.
And what was special about last weekend, of course, was Saturday night at Melton, where Spud is going to spend every living moment out there now, being on the board out there, is that he was going to represent the entirely new elected board, and because he was the big... the big media man.
Personality.
Like, you know, he can boys, at the meeting, give it to me, I can handle it. I'm a media man Spud.
And personality.
And I don't think any of you guys should be speaking publicly because I am the man for public whippings.
Unusual for a director and not the chairman to speak anyway. Normally they're seen and not heard.
I would have thought you would, well, president, and if he's not their vice
president. Dale Monteith does a great job, by the way.
You wouldn't go to the bottom elected board meeting.
Well, I wouldn't have thought.
Anyway, Dale's new as well. The whole board are new,
Brian.
Spud, we had someone send in a tape. We followed you out there. Someone has sent
that
us
can't
an
be
audio.
True.
Now, Spud, this was real glass eye stuff.
Oh, no.
But
Come on, Spud.
Have a listen to this. This is the audio that's been sent in to us of Spud's maiden speech at the Melton Trots, representing the entire trotting nation.
We'll have a chat with a special guest here at Tadpole Park tonight. As you're all probably aware, we have a new board at Harness Racing Victoria, and one of the members is a man that you'll recognise instantly. Would you please welcome our new board member, Mr. Danny Crawley?
Thanks, John. Great to be here, mate.
He's gone with the mate first
mate.
Up to the MC. You're a part of the board, Spud. Now, don't even bother trying to explain here.
I will at the end.
The reason we can't play it in its entirety is because it went for the next race was 12 minutes. It went 24 and a half minutes. The average age of the people there was 60 plus. And it was absolute glass eye. Sent them to sleep. And it was just absolutely unbelievable. Now I want you to have a listen as we fast forward 24
and a half
minutes.
That is crap.
To the end when they were wrapping Spud up and this happened.
On behalf of us all, Danny, good luck on your new role as a member of Harness Racing Victoria.
Thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Danny Crawley.
And just on that, John, I'd really like to thank the Pegasus Club. Obviously, steeped in tradition here, and obviously do a fantastic job. And it's all about networking. I think the fact that Spuddy...
We might just fade it out there. Spud went on for another 6 minutes.
No!
He was trying to receive the applause. The man wrapped him up because the second race, he'd already missed one, but the next race was coming up. No. And then the applause came and he said, I haven't finished yet. I just kept going, Spud.
Look, the guy that interviewed me did a great job. And
it's
he got
all about
it right
networking.
No, he got it right at the start. Right. He said, this
you
man...
You don't know his name as the board
John
member?
John Dunn. He was the MC but he said, this guy needs no introduction. And he got that right. Because, seriously.
How could you create 24 minutes, Spud?
It wasn't 24.
It was. We listened back to it, unfortunately.
I put a few pale face officers in there too, and we're all gazers.
Oh, Damo. I don't know what's going on with
How many you reckon were in that gathering? How many turned up to listen to your speech?
Oh, no, there was a good... 250, 200, 250.
Well, they're there for the trots, not you. Let's be very clear on that.
Yeah, the Oaks were there, and rightly so, Warrior. Yeah. What are you getting at?
Well, what I'm getting at...
Be careful.
People were invited to listen to you speak at an event over summer, weren't they? Somewhere.
Oh, no.
What? And it's fair to say they didn't want to listen to you.
Oh, goodness.
What are you talking about?
And what I need to do here is now defer to your good friend, Basil Zempelis, who hosts a very good radio program Perth. Basil Zempelis, your mate.
Come on.
He takes up this
Basil. This is the guy that was out at Skilled Stadium.
There's history between them
in amongst the players.
Careful, Spud.
Whilst they were warming up, smelling liniment out their backsides at Geelong, and I told him kindly to get off the ground.
Have you got here, Purple?
Well, careful, Warrior.
This just to set it up. This is an event that Spud was speaking at, and Basil takes up the story.
Was the scene of some embarrassment at the Busselton Golf Club recently when the committee decided to bring Danny Frawley down for a public speaking engagement. And they actually say the cost, can I say? It says it. 2.5.
Oh, a bit light.
Not bad.
Was a scene of particular embarrassment both to Danny and to the Busselton Golf Club committee when, how many guests do you reckon turned up to see him?
200.
Three.
300?
No, three.
Three?
Three people.
One, two, three.
Three people. What are you laughing for? Oh, no. He stayed there, had a drink with him for a while. Collected the two and a half still, and off he went back to Perth.
That's 6 PR, yeah, Basil Zemplis.
Can I have a right of reply?
No.
The
no.
marketing manager got the sack from the Busselton Golf Club and got the dates mixed
three
up.
Three people, Spud. Three.
Exactly.
And you still because took the
it
two
was
and a half.
The following week.
You took the two and a half.
Mate, they played play golf that then? Day and they have 50 people. You reckon they would have come
in? You know
in,
what happened?
No.
I took the money. I had beers with the three guys and I played golf with them the next day. And I won $100 each of them as well. You know what?
So you took the overs.
Yeah, that big streak of pelican crap. Basil Zemplis.
Oh, now, come
get
on.
Your facts right, Baz.
No, he's a teammate of mine.
Hey, Baz,
no,
you want us to replay, Baz, when you're eating half a party pie to come out on your lip?
Spud.
Come on, Baz.
Three people.
Oh, three.
They had 50 at the monthly medal.
Spud,
they looked inside the glass saucepan, Spud, and got straight
in
their
car. All the old shields with their when cup of tea went outside.
They
advertised for 6 weeks.
When I
you turned took
up,
two and a half.
When I turned up, there was about 30 cars there, but they were all getting their cars to go home after the monthly medals.
And I'm told
when I walked in, they had the dates wrong, Brian.
I'm told when the CEO came out with the with the check for two and a half, Spud went,
"Hey, Brian,
no checky here.
Brian,
bring the bag out."
BT, I had Anita staying at Busselton in one of those resorts there. She'd already spent. She had already spent the money. So how was I going to go home to Anita without anything in the kitty bag?
Now, Spud, Lord, we're not going to. We're not going to ease up on you just yet because I read during the week with great interest.
Yep.
In fact, I'd heard this before and I advised you against it. I read during the week, I think it was in the Herald Sun, that you were, you were the chairman of an organising committee for the losing prelim final that the Tigers played against Brisbane in Brisbane. So most people would have a reunion for a premiership side. You're going to have a reunion for finishing fourth.
Third,
right?
Brian. Third.
Third or fourth, doesn't matter. Prelim final.
It's the highest finish in SADI 2, by the way.
Oh, now Spud.
It's the what? Same thing.
Well, you lose a prelim, Jim. It's the
no,
same thing.
Oh, sorry. Oh, how many prelims have you coached in? binocular head?
Now, Spud.
Don't you laugh, your skinny turd over there as well.
Second's as good as last, but third or fourth just ain't going to...
Well, I understand that.
...going to run it with
I
me.
I understand that, Brian.
Now, I happened to get in your mobile phone just yesterday when you got home when we're having lunch there.
We're having it in October, by the way.
I did borrow your phone and
it's going to be a great day.
I know you've been in contact with a lot of these form. Yes, you have.
Yes, you have.
You've rung every one of them. No, and here is the voicemail to prove it. This is off your voicemail. Will you be coming to the fourth place reunion? Good. Here it is.
New voice message.
G'day, Spud. Benny Gale speaking, mate. Love to be there, but unfortunately I can't, mate. You know, I've always had these sort of slightly crooked eyebrows and the date you've earmarked I've got an appointment to go and get straightened up, mate. So, unfortunately, I might be able to make it. And, mate, give my regards to all the boys.
One out.
Look forward to seeing you again later. Bye.
To call back.
G'day, Spud. Duncan Callaway here. Thanks for your invite, mate. I'd love to come, but unfortunately, I'll be ironing the jocks that night. So, can't make it, but have a great night.
That's two.
To call.
Hi, Spud. Leon here, mate. Look, I got your invite.
That's Leon Cameron.
I'm not going to be able to make it. I've got to clean the bottom of my pool at home, mate, and that's a priority. Sorry, buddy.
Sorry. Wayne Campbell here, mate. Thanks for the invite. I've looked forward, though, and I'm walking the dog that day, so I won't be able to come.
Now, Spud.
Yeah, I know I don't have a dog, but that's okay. Thanks, mate. See you, buddy.
There are no more messages.
Now, Spud.
Yeah, Brian.
No one wants to come to
you. You're just falling flat, Brian.
No one wants to come to your reunion, mate, for a prelim final.
It's not a reunion, Brian.
Sort of gathering.
It's about the fact of just catching up and
you're trying to reflect upon a moment from the past. That's a reunion with people who should.
Well, those people are trying to wipe that from their memories.
No, they're not. It's Neanderthal and archaic. Why a club at such as Richmond, who have had no success and had a little bit of fleeting success then, do not...
Mate, Duncan Callaway is the world's biggest glass eye, and not even he wants to go.
I'll tell you what, Duncan, he'll be there.
You know what?
There
was another one.
Who?
Gas, three times voted Triple M's worst player ever.
All-Australian, BT.
He's not coming either, Gas.
Who's Gasper? Coming?
Gasper.
They'll be Pill's coming.
He doesn't
Brad Otten's is coming. He'll be first
any
there.
Any of the Hollands come along?
Greg Beck.
Meccano man.
Oh, look, it'll be a good day. And
well, there'll be three of you there. Well, let's see.
Well, what have you ever done?
Where are you going to have
other
it?
Than
what I reflect upon?
What
stuff
have you ever done than other than just tap away on your little computer there?
Where are you going to have it? Where are you going to have it?
At home. We're just going to have a couple of quiet ales and talk about when we beat Carlton.
So make it
in front of 85,000 people at the MCG. That's
make
all.
Make it not about the loss, the actual game.
No. We'll actually watch the first semi when we beat Carlton, Brian. In 80,
oh, you have that running around on the plasma.
We will. In about four tellies. We might have a couple of bets as well. Might see Brad take a couple of grabs. Richo?
This is a clear case of Spud wanting company.
No, it's not. It's not that at all, Brian. Too many people around this country walk around with big chips on their shoulders, and you're, including you, 1990 grand final. You've never got over that.
Oh, no.
Being first emergency.
State basketballer, state footballer.
Yeah, but... And I'm led to believe, which I'll run with something in a few weeks, but I won't now. You've won something else recently, but I won't run with it. And I'm going to run with it in a couple of weeks now after you've brought that crap up.
I'll tell you what.
But get over yourself. Lee didn't want you in that side in 1990, mate.
He
get
didn't, BT. He wrote a book about that.
Yeah, you wrote a book about it. You said, I got him into the drawn final against... I kicked three that day. Well, guess what? You got dropped.
They win the grand final 3 weeks, 3 days later, BT's book's out.
You know what? The players got paid for winning that grand final as a bonus.
What'd they get?
$10K. You know what I got for writing that book? $200.
What would you have done?
Spud.
Spud. What?
We haven't even got to the article in the paper around this reunion.
Yeah.
Your ability to reference yourself was Brereton-esque.
No, it wasn't.
Spud.
That was done about a month ago, by the way.
I don't care when it was done.
Oh, that
it
makes a difference.
It was printed during the week, and it was pretty much all about you.
No, was not.
It was.
No, it was not. It was about the fact that there's a lot of good people involved in that club at that time, still at the pointy end of AFL footy. We're talking Chris Bradshaw, Tim Barber, Noel Duncan, Matty Hornsby, Warren Coford.
I couldn't live in the
Flaine
moment.
Campbell.
Looking back at 2001, it was the best year in footy I ever had because I finished third.
For the Fiat Ducato, he stormed out. Spud, look at him. He's down tools. He's buggered off. We got so much mail on Spud, we can't actually get it all out.
We've actually purchased a diary to slot it all in ahead.
The feedback I've got from a couple of mates, it probably wasn't sort of put out there as well, a couple of those stories.
Oh, really?
I reckon it went a bit flatline. A
couple of your bungaree Spud mates.
No, they just said that maybe it's time I fired up a little bit. Maybe I've got something on a couple of guys that I've been sitting on.
Righto.
And confidential, I didn't want to run with it, but maybe I'll have to in the next week or so now.
Hey, we got some news we need to get through. Purple, Trav Cloak plays Monday.
It's looking unlikely, Jim. He has had a practice session today with his teammates, and he's been used as a backup ruckman in that particular structure. Mason Cox in the same sort of drill situation was up front of the sticks with Darcy Moore. We'll know officially when that team is finalised for Monday's game, but it certainly doesn't look good for Travis Cloak from a Monday perspective. And BT, it's not looking all that good for him from a big picture perspective either, because this slump, while it is 4 weeks old in some people's eyes, that being the 4 weeks of 2016, it does go back, I'm prepared to say, I reckon 2014, when you really want to trace back to the falling away of Travis Cloak's impact on Collingwood Footy Club.
Yeah, and everyone's asking the questions, why has he fallen away? I'm not 100% sure. I always saw him when he was playing his best football, is presenting up under Malthouse, presenting up, getting a lot of ball up high. And I remember there were calls at the time, no good Travis Cloak being up on the wing, marking the footy. He needs to get back closer to goal. So I don't see that as much in his game. I saw two or three times he did it last week. Wasn't enough. His contested marking. Remember, he was the best contested mark in the competition.
For about 3 years running, BT.
Yeah, what's going
all
on
Australian.
Now? He just can't even get in a position to contest for a mark.
And this is taking nothing away from Sam Fisher, because he played extremely well 2 weeks ago. And you could see behind the goals, not once did Travis Cloak engage in a body strength with Sam Fisher, which, you have a look at Sam, he's 33. Travis Cloak and bench press, 160? Chips is about 120. Wouldn't you think you'd put your big leg around him and try and get him in a contested situation? Not once.
So it's definitely wearing thin with Buckley.
It is, definitely. BT. And we're not going to play the audio from yesterday's press conference. We played it last night on the Friday rub. But
and I was there yesterday because I did that function that they were at yesterday.
Right.
And
so you heard it.
Yeah, I heard it. And I also spoke to him about it publicly in front of everyone. as well. So, yeah.
Well, that in itself, BT, was indicative of where Nathan's at, isn't it? I mean, Danny said, this is a man who is a two-time All-Australian. Yeah. He's a four-time Collingwood leading goal kicker. He's an a best and fairest winner.
Just about their highest paid player?
Oh, he probably is now that Swan's on a reduced contract and Pendlebury's probably in the middle of his latest current big deal. So, yeah, it would be. And then, as we know, he rejected the Fremantle offer. He's still got a year to run off that deal beyond this year that is on the seriously big money. There's issues there that the coach could not commit to him, Jim, for a Monday game on a Friday press conference.
Anzac Day too, one of their biggest games. Steph Martin, does he play?
Well, they've named him, Jim, and I'm still staggered at that. And again, I'm not questioning I'm not questioning doctors for people who think when I say I'm surprised that he's playing, but I was surprised Riewoldt played last week, Spud, and he did, and he was good. I don't expect...
A little bit different. Riewoldt walked off the ground. This guy...
Yeah, but he got knocked out.
Briefly.
No, but see, this is where I'm at with this. And because concussion, there is no concussion that's the same, and so the doctors will always tell you, you know, everyone varies and different. I just think it's got to be an automatic week. What can be good about Stephen Martin getting hit again this week?
Yeah.
How can that help him? Regardless, and you say Riewoldt, what can be good? Okay, Riewoldt got a small one. Let's say he gets another small one this week. What can be good about that consecutive weeks?
No, I agree with that argument because we look at boxing as being Neanderthal and archaic, but they basically, if they get knocked out, they're out for 2 or 3 months.
Damo,
before they can fight again.
I've done a thing for Saturday Night Footy Tonight on 7 with Dr. Zimmerman from the Western Bulldogs on the scat tests.
Yep.
Now,
was it conclusive, Brian, or inconclusive?
It's not conclusive at all. So in the end, it boils down to the doctor knowing the patient and a gut feel on how he's feeling, and more importantly than anything, the feedback he gets from the player. What's the player going to say come Thursday when the coach is saying, you're right?
BT, on that matter, do you feel that, historically speaking, maybe you have this conversation historically rather than 2016, but do you feel that there has been pressure put on doctors to get concussed players back onto the field given the game situation?
There used to be.
I think in the past, absolutely 100%. Right now,
no.
I think they are absolutely by the book and covering themselves more than ever.
Yep.
Now, from the man that brought you...
And gastro, as I understand.
And
bugger all.
Comes... What the hell?
Wasn't our best night last night on Triple M Footy, Brian. We put our hands up when we don't actually perform as well as we should. Things started badly when we sent the little Chew Man down to the boundary to interview Don Pike.
That was funny. Understaffed or something.
We were, because Howie had business. He was working, so he couldn't get to the ground early enough to do what he normally does really well, which is the on-ground interview. So we had to send the little Chew Man down.
Yep.
He had the first two questions to Don Pike. Before he went down there, Brian, we said to him, you better get this right because you've sconced Pendlebury.
And then, JB, remember the question, do not ask the player if you've got nothing else to ask, what did the coach say?
Yep. And then you just
that's what
we
ran with.
So with all of this as a backdrop, this was how the Chew Man started his interview with the Adelaide senior coach, Don Pike.
Don, massive game tonight, Friday night footy, centre stage, playing against the ultimate heavyweight in the competition, Hawthorn. Must be a lot of excitement around the club, but I always want to know, what does a coach usually do on match day in terms of downtime? I mean, do you go for a bit of a run, pour over the papers, or how do you keep the headspace stable?
Hard hitting up front. I've gone for a... this afternoon I went for a run around Albert Park Lake.
Nice run there around Albert Park Lake.
Oh, no.
Lovely run. I can do it in 14 minutes.
What the hell?
You're in charge of this, Jim.
He's sounding like Warwick Capper.
JV.
You've got all day to prepare, and the best question you can come up with, Chew, is I'm fascinated with what a coach does on game day.
And not only that, he drank lots of Doc Larkin's water. Because it went on and on and on.
Yeah, he did. He had a hold of one of his plums as well. But JV,
he runs
normally
minutes,
three strikes, but that's it, sure.
Well, Scott Pendlebury, I don't know where we're at with Chew. All day
done.
He knew he had the first two questions. He said to us pre-interview, Bristol, I've got the first one banked. I've got the first one banked.
And that was it.
And that'll give me time to think.
That was it. Top heavy Pike. He's just doing his best. A young coach. Walk straight into the Chew Man. Have you been for a run today? What time did you do around the lake? What the hell, Chewer? All right. We move on to later on in the night, a man who should know better. by the way, a man who Jose Mary needs, doesn't need me to tell, dominates the hot breakfast, who are flying with the ratings number one FM. Mm. Of course, I speak of the big Duke, Luke Darcy. But it must have been a long day because we got to a post-match interview with the superstar Norm Smith medal-winning Cyril Rioli. And this is the question the Duke posed.
Hey, Junior, tell us a bit about Cyril Rioli and where he sits in the great players of the game in your mind.
Tell him about himself.
Tell him about himself.
So you meant Shaunie Burgoyne, mate.
Shaun Burgoyne.
Sorry, Cyril. It's been a long night. Tell us about yourself and Shaun Burgoyne.
Nah, Shaunie, he definitely, he sits right up there, you know, after obviously playing, you know, 300 games and, you know, most importantly, what he's done at Hawthorn, but as well as Port Adelaide. And, you know, for me, everyone sees the Shaun Burgoyne, you know, on field, but, you know, the Shaun Burgoyne I see is off field and how loving he is towards his family and his, and definitely towards his kids.
Junior, tell us about Cyril as well then. How's he tracking?
Yeah, Cyril's all right. I'm going okay.
Duke, what the hell? Say that again. It's not like... Sorry, Hose, I'm talked over. Give me another one then, please.
Say that again.
Oh, now, come on, Duke. What the hell? You're speaking to one of the superstars of the competition. Oh. You don't third person him in a question about him.
And he's gone the fatigue excuse. Yeah. He's just come off 2 weeks' break.
Been a long day, he reckons. Oh, no. So we
got ahead of himself.
As I said, it wasn't our best night.
Didn't he?
Yeah, thank God BJ Goddard was in there just to keep us all nice and relevant because we weren't great, but it has to be said, last night.
Is it ratings period at the moment?
Oh, yeah, always ratings. Don't worry. And we're flying. even if we don't, we put in a half-decent one, but it's much better than the opposition. Sorry, Purple, you got a quick bit of news?
We touched on Steph Martin before. Alex Rance, guys... Just take this as fact. There was an issue with the playing group at Richmond when it was dawned on them and when they discovered the fact that he would not be doing the pre-season block of training between the beginning of it, whenever they return in November, until after the Christmas break. And in the end, BT turned up on, I think it was January 4 for the first time. It was all sorted out to a point, but the playing group did certainly raise it with him. They raised it with the football club. It reached the coaching department. There were conversations. There were questionings. There were people trying to change this once they were made aware of it. But ultimately, the decision rested with the department itself, where Alex Rance did not train with the Richmond Footy Club between the end of last season's game and January 4 this year. Wow. The players knew, though, BT, just to put this in complete context, knew that once he returned, there was going to be no issues with his ability to A, train, and B, present himself properly. And that happened. He returned. His PB was nearly reached in the time trial. He trained the house down, as he does. And as we know, if he's not leading the best and fairest after 4 weeks of footy this year, he's in the top three. So they knew all that was going to be the case with him. They know he's a professional when he's there. But just as fact, they did have an issue with him not being there. They were not aware and not party to the decision that was made on his behalf.
Because I watched the Channel 9 footy show on Thursday and I saw this demo that you presented and you've asked him the question and he said no. So
he said no, yeah. And that, look, that's his right to say whatever he wants to say. I mean, I mean that happens all the time. But
January
I
can just 4 was a warrior?
January 4 he returns, bud.
But that's not too bad, is
but
it? He's missed
weeks. Forget your opinion on whether he should or not. And but don't forget, I reported at the time last year he was contemplating actually not playing footy at all. And part of the new contract, although it's not written into the contract, but part of the negotiations around it were that he did not have to train until after Christmas. Look, it's worked out well for him from a personal perspective.
For that 1 year only?
Well, let's see what happens at the end of this year. This reached Damien Hardwick, I know that. And I know the decision was made on Alex's behalf beyond the playing group and the coaching group.
Trent Cotchin aside, I just read through some of the leadership names that have had a quibble with Rance. Who are they?
Spud, they raised it with him in person.
I want to know their names. They need to put their head over the agate. Stop worrying about Rance. Rance is their best player. He's been their best player for the last 4 weeks.
Spud, there is a perception of preferential treatment on one player in this situation.
Well, I reckon the leadership group. Fair dinkum. I'd like to know their names. And
you're referring to 2001 as a coach. Would you have allowed one player? No,
I wouldn't have.
Well, that's what Damien Hardwick wanted to do as well. He did not want him...
Well, maybe the communications need to be a little bit better to the leadership group. And maybe the leadership group, put your head over the agate and use the ball. Rant has been their best player. Woe is me. Maybe that's the issue. They're too worried about everyone else.
So if you're the best player, you can have whatever
time
you want.
No, not at all, Brian. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's done and dusted. We're talking January 3. And if they're still quibbling about these little misdemeanors now, focus on the ball. Focus on Melbourne Footy Club, Hogan, or, you know, one of these players instead of focusing about one of their better players and say to him, you know what? You've had a break. Perform. That's what he's done.
So look forward.
I don't know Rance that well. I know he beats him a different drum, but geez, performances are pretty good.
No doubt. Another club in trouble, Jim. Fremantle 0-4. Lockie Neal, they're out of contract. Really good player. Is yet to work out where he's going to be in 2017. He's not engaging in conversation with the Dockers at the moment. Other clubs around the competition are inquiring of his services. And Adelaide Crows is as well placed as any right now to...
Because he's an Adelaide boy.
Yeah, he's from South Australia. As well placed as any club he is right now to have him on their books next year. But again, it's ultimately up to Lockie Neal. But it's not all great over there at Fremantle. Chris Mayne, now you might say he's not as good of a player as he was in 2013. He's still going to attract interest and is attracting interest. And, and Zach Clark's another who is looking about his own footy beyond 2016.
They can't, but Carlton are arriving at the right time for the Dockers as a home game because they just need to start winning and turning the thing around. I actually heard Ross Lyon's press conference after the game on the weekend. I thought he handled it brilliantly. If you can ever be 0-4 and handle a press conference, well, he did. He basically just sat there and said, look, you're going to write the crisis stuff. You're going to write all of that, and it's your absolute right to write it, and I understand where you're coming from. But he said, for me, it's about us playing better than we are at the moment. And he just handled it so well.
Yeah, he did. I agree with that. Carlton arriving at the right time, as you say, over in Perth there, JB. But then after that, Adelaide, GWS, Hawthorn.
We are here at the Richard Marsland Studios in South Melbourne, and there is some massive footy on a Saturday afternoon. Don't worry about that, including the game we're going to cross to Sydney West Coast Eagles, fourth against seventh. Both clubs are 3-1, and both clubs are going to go deep. Pardon me, into September, you know that. Let's talk to the coach of the Sydney Swans, who's been good enough to join us online from Sydney, John Longmire. Horse, welcome.
Go, Dames.
Hey, you must be looking forward to this one. It's a real good test for your club.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a big test last week against Adelaide, obviously a former team, and another former team going around, which is obviously West Coast as well, and that's a really good brand of footy, so it's a big test for us.
Sydney Cricket Ground just suits your footy club. I know everyone's very happy to be out of the other place and making this your spiritual home, but it's also a ground you play really well.
Yeah, we hope so. I mean, you know, obviously the ground that you play at the majority of the time, you'd like to be able to play that ground really well. It's great to have our supporters back here, and terrific. We've got that 30-year commitment from the SCG. We love playing here.
You've had a good look, Johnny, the last 4 weeks at the football, and no doubt you would have watched the game last night, and you had a close look at Adelaide last week. Do you think it is here to stay? The quick movement of the footy that we're seeing, and the ultimate scoring out of that.
Yeah, it's probably a couple of things, Brian. One is probably the quick movement of the footy, but also probably aggressive defences. And so a lot of goals get scored over the top. So it's sort of a combination of those two things, I think, add up to probably what we've seen so far, which is pretty high-scoring games at this point.
So is that something you're telling the players, that this is the way they've got to play, or is it just happening that way? How does it eventuate that all of the teams come to the start of the year and in the first 4 weeks of the year, they're all playing similar?
Well, it's sort of not one thing in isolation. It's probably a combination of rule changes, aggressive defences. Some of the best ways actually to defend it is to get the ball out of your defences by going quicker. Don't let the opposition organise itself. So there's a whole combination of different things that add up to probably what we're seeing across the competition. I'm sure the supporters are really enjoying it.
Hey, Horse, what I love about what you're doing, you're going as well as any team in the comp, but you're also getting brand new kids involved in your setup: Mills, Heaney, Papley. So to be able to be at the top and sharp end of the competition, but also getting game time and experience into really talented young kids is a great blend.
Yeah, it's a balance we've got to try and continue to do, James. I think we're down the bottom as far as ages or games, certainly games played as far as averages, in the bottom six or seven teams, I think, which is if we're still competitive though and still introducing those younger kids to our team. Hewitt's another one that gets to go today again, and that's what we want to do, be competitive but also get the kids a bit of a go, and hopefully they play the sort of footy we want them to play.
John, one thing your club's always been able to do is identify and then make work decisions by way of bringing people in from other clubs. Callum Sinclair's the latest one who seems to be making effectively an immediate impact in that club. How's he going to go today against his old club?
Yeah, I guess it's always the question, isn't it, Damien? I mean, you play against your old teammates, and he played in the grand final for them last year, so he's obviously got a really strong connection to them. But, we always believe, and, once the ball's bounced, you get on the job at hand, and he's been fantastic for us. He didn't play last week, and it's good to get him back in the team. But like Lewis Jetta, I guess, playing against his old teammates as well. There's a bit of angst there for a little bit as you lead up to the game, but once the ball's bent, you get on with the job.
We on the outside constantly look at your back line as an area that may not quite be up to scratch, yet it constantly gets the job done. How are your confidence levels with what's going on there?
We've traditionally over a number of years, and again this year, been pretty good at the scores against, and that's what we continue to do. It's not just our back six; it's a whole group of defenders. We look at Heath Grundy's, who's had a terrific start to the season. Callum Mills, Jeremy Labor's been really good. Nick Smith's been super form the last couple of weeks, so we're pretty confident our defenders hold up. And there's no doubt, like any team, we rely upon enormously the pressure up the ground.
Excuse my ignorance, Johnny, but who you got sitting on the sidelines? How many you got to come back into this side yet?
Oh, there's Gary Rowan, Sam Reid are two players. Sam Reid's probably about 3 weeks away. Gary Rowan's available to play, gets back off the long-term injury list next week. So those two players, obviously, it'd be handy to get them back.
Hey, Horst, speaking about the defence, they'll be tested today. This is as potent an offence as you'll see in the comp. Darling, Kennedy, McGovern, Lacroix, they've got some weapons.
Yeah, no doubt, JB. I mean, you look at they have got an enormous amount of weapons in their front half. There's no doubt. They've got some real class. But what they have got is that they put enormous pressure on the opposition. They're not just an attacking forward group. I mean, you look at Kennedy. I mean, he's probably one of the best pressure forwards in the comp. And at his size and his goal-kicking ability, it's a real credit to him the way he attacks the ball.
John, JB a moment ago touched on Isaac Heaney. His form to this stage of a season and four-game career is quite extraordinary, isn't it? Do you, I suppose, in your own private times, contemplate how far he can go?
Well, he's done it probably off the back of pretty limited pre-seasons too. So he's had a bit of knee tendonitis in both knees last year and again this year. So he hasn't really trained to his maximum just yet. And which is, he's been able to do a little bit more work over the last probably month. But he's a very good player. Most importantly, he's a massive competitor. I mean, he's just a huge competitor. He goes hard to contest, but seems to have time when he's got the ball in hand. So that's a pretty handy combination.
And I love Papley as we let you go too, Horse. This is a rookie elevation. He has that forward pressure and ability to hit the scoreboard as well. Just a great find.
Yeah, we did have to look hard for him because he's not that tall. he's a beauty pressure forward. I mean, you look at the game last night, I mean, Swampolo in particular, but you look at what those small forwards are able to do, and this kid's only starting his career, he's only a baby, but we're going to give him every opportunity and hopefully he turns into a really good player for us.
Hey, we've chewed up enough of your time. Thanks very much for joining us, mate, and good luck. Big game today.
Good on you. Thanks, boys.
Very nice always to chat to John Longmire. A bit of wind going around clearly where he was, the coach of the Sydney Swans, but they've got a massive game coming up against the West Coast Eagles, of course. That game at the SCG, they don't lose too often there. We're not far away from
great interview, that.
Boys
pretty
there.
Quiet there.
You're pretty
spot.
Quiet,
yeah,
didn't
want
much
to do with
didn't
that
feel spot. A need to bother, John?
No, I was just looking at a couple of things for Brian a couple of weeks. So I've been thrown under the bus again, and I'm going to have to run with something I didn't want to next week. I think I'll run with it next week now, JB.
I think that's what you said last week.
No, but I'm definitely running with it next week because there's too much one-way traffic at the moment. It's like Little Burke Street here at the minute.
Well, I'd expect some more next week too, Spud, because I think there's two or three bits still floating around.
For me?
There's plenty.
We've had like an 8-course meal and we've only got through the second course.
It's degustation at the minute. They just keep bringing food out.
Don't laugh, will you? We're off here in a minute and then Triple M won't be responsible for what I do.
ABT, we've got a minute and a half to go. You're going to Port Adelaide. That's a massive game for that footy club.
Come on, Brian.
Big game over there tonight, Port Adelaide and Geelong,
Give
course.
Us something, Brian, tonight. Give us something.
They're 2-2 and we're all saying they're stinking it up.
Yep.
But they're in a lot better position than a lot of other teams. 2-2 is not so bad at this stage of the year, would you say?
Well, they've beaten Essendon as one of the two and St Kilda in the first round.
Yeah, that's right, by 61 and 33 respectively. But they don't look all that together on the field.
They're not.
They look good individually. When you look at them individually, they are all giving, right? But collectively coming together and doing those things that make really great teams win premierships in the end, they're not doing any of those things.
You're right, because last week they got sieved by GWS. Pollock, is that how you pronounce him?
Pollock.
He got dropped because of his lack of defensive running. I would expect that, Brian, would give the other 22 players some impetus or stimulus to say, we need to defend. Because when Ken Hinckley took over as coach, they did attack, but they defended really well, and they haven't been able to do it.
We loved Ken when he took over, and yeah. it was all going well.
He's under the pump.
What do you say now?
Well, he's got to get back to what made him a really good coach, and that was defensive pressure created turnovers, which gave them ample opportunities to score.
We have moved on a little bit from there, the game, though. So does it he has try gone. And, does he, how does he try and get ahead of it is the question.
Well, you'll be watching, and we'll be watching Give with you, Brazil. I look forward to that.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks football.